This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
This is the Leadership Forum.
Consider if everybody did what you are doing, would the world be a better place? That's a principle for just checking whether what you are doing is correct.
Welcome to the Leadership Forum, where we explore principles, practices, and perspectives of effective leadership.
A very good morning, Asante Sana, for keeping it right here where you listen and leave. My name is Shiko, and of course, this is a beautiful day. I know many people have been waiting for Leadership Forum, and it's here. Allow me to just tell you, you can interact with us on our social media platforms, that is Facebook, X, and of course, YouTube. We will be live. Actually, I think we're already live. And you can also, in a short while, ask a question or possibly say hi, because in studio with me is none other than Mr. Kingston Ogango. How are you, sir?
Good morning. I'm well, Shiko. How have you been?
I've been well.
Yes.
It's good to see you.
It's good to be here, and I'm really delighted to be part of what you're doing today.
Yes.
And I'm happy to be part of this conversation.
Yes. I was telling Mr. Kingston, he wears very many hats. I was wondering, how do I address him? And of course, right now, you told me you are working as a director. Can you possibly just tell people what you're doing?
Okay, so I do many things, but one of the things I do is I'm the Africa Regional Director of Alpha International. Alpha is a tool that we give to churches and other Christian communities to help people discover faith. And it is a conversational evangelism tool, but also a basic discipleship tool. So where people are happy to bring friends and family and others to a conversation of discovering and going deep and finding Jesus along the way. So it's a space where we create a space either online or in person where people go. And so what we do is we train and equip churches and other organizations to use these tools to reach out to, especially to those who are outside the church, those who have left church, those who are averse to church, and others who may not come to a church service.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And karibu.
Asante
karibu sana. The reason why I'm saying this is because you have been here before.
I've been here before, yes. And always happy to come back.
Oh, asante sana. So today you say that you would want to talk about relational wealth.
Yes.
Can you possibly just help us understand what does that entail? What does it look like?
Yeah, so relational wealth, or what we could call relational capital, is basically referring to an intangible, embedded quality of a leader's ability to harness relationships, networks, and his social capital. It also looks at trust, goodwill, influence, and mutual support, because a lot of leaders, sometimes people relate to them because of their office, the space they occupy at a certain time in their career, but they don't build tangible, deep relationships. And because when you do that, then you are able to build effectiveness into your leadership. You can also build long-term impact, because people relate to people. And if they relate to your office, then there's a disaster, because when you leave that office, then you don't have anything to hold on. And many leaders you've had who feel lonely after they left a leadership position. Why? Because they built an office, they built people around the office, and people related to them because of their title of their office, but not them as individuals. And so it is important for a leader to also develop some relational capital, because then that becomes a leader's true advantage. How do you build? Because human beings are looking for trust, they're looking for somebody they can connect with, and not something they come to get, because that is a very short-term way of looking at it.
Someone they can connect with.
Yes.
Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah.
So how does a leader go, how does it look like? Like, for example, if I'm a leader, and you're talking to me right now, and I realize, so I have a lot of relationships around me because of this office. So people call me related, everything related to work.
Yes.
So how can one begin?
Yeah, and another way to look at it, think about somebody who has a social media of 1 million people. How tangible are those relationships? You know, so a lot of times we build superficial relationships, but not deep relationships. And the way we define our relationships also helps us know how to lead. And so one of the ways to do it is maybe describing what relational capital is. And it's a very close term to social capital, and we'll try and differentiate the two. But one of the things is that relational capital is a currency of trust and influence. So it is that ability where a leader can trade in their trust, their consistency, and their integrity, where people understand they can trust you, and out of that you influence, because you know leadership is about influencing people, mobilizing them, and driving them towards a common goal.
Yes.
And so if you are not able to influence, and sometimes you can influence them by coercion because you have an office, you have a title, you have power, so you can tell them do this and they do it. But a good way to influence, I'm sure you've been in places where somebody doesn't even have a title, but people coalesce around that person. The natural gravitation, because they've built a relational capital. We can also call it let me not say it's big words, but it's basically what it means is social equity in personal networks. So that then that is where you gain strength, diversity and depth from your social equity, or the things that you have, the social networks you have built. How do you get value out of that? It's because people know you, you know them, you know them by name, you they understand you, you have something going beyond what you're doing. But also relational capital has an emotional part of it, you know, where in coaching we normally say it is emotional wealth. Referring to those emotional bonds you build with people. Because friendship and human beings build far beyond just, you're my friend. How do I know you're my friend? There's an emotional bond. Something that when I see you, I feel something, I sense something. So relational capital also builds that emotional bond between a leader and the people they're leading, a leader and the followers. But also for those who are Christian leaders, there's also a spiritual and communal wealth around it. So where you as a leader, you are able to help pull out a spiritual connection with people. You know, when somebody says, I can feel a kindred spirit, it's a relational capital where they feel there's something we connect. Spiritually, you know, it's not something you can hold. That's why I'm calling it an intangible connection. It's not where you can say, now I can hold it. But it is something that is there. It happens within that. And then when we use relational capital well and connect it over a period of time, that's how we build legacy. Because people, far beyond the day you leave office, far beyond the day you leave a positional leadership, do you still have people who follow you? Do you still influence a group of people? Or does it end with the day you leave an office? And so you've heard of leaders who say when they left a certain office, their phones went dead. Nobody called them. They didn't have, they were wondering whether their phones had a problem. A lot of it is that a lot of them did not build relational capital.
Yes.
People who call you and say, Shiko, how are you doing? Not Shiko, what can I get? Can you do this for me? Or, you know, so it is a place where people have a connection far beyond the things we do, the office we hold, and building on the networks, building trust and building a relational capital that is also having that emotional connection with one another.
Wow.
Yeah.
When you mentioned emotional, let me ask you a question and then you can
correct me
if I'm wrong.
Feel free.
I remembered Joseph.
Yes.
Joseph, he was able to connect by simply asking, what's up? You guys are not looking okay today.
Yes.
Is that one of the ways that someone can connect by checking on how people are?
Yes. So in leadership, we call it empathy. Where a leader has a sense where they can empathize with their people they follow, because Joseph was basically empathizing when his brothers come to him and he can notice there's something wrong, even though they have not told him what is wrong. So it's that ability where you can step into a person's space and begin to feel a bit of what they feel, and then now connect with them. So empathy is a very important part of relational capital and relational wealth, and it's one of the greatest ways of a leader must build if they're going to build a team. You must be a leader who empathizes, not sympathize, but empathize. Yeah.
Can you have, maybe you can, for the sake of the audience, help us understand sympathize and empathize.
So empathize is basically stepping into your shoes.
Understanding how
understanding
you're feeling.
Understanding and feeling you, but not necessarily getting to cry with you or anything. It's just feeling you and being able to connect with you.
Yes.
Sympathize is where I'm feeling, these things are not working. How will this person be? You know, so you get into a little lower level, but empathy is lifting because empathy is, okay, you have lost or somebody is not feeling today. Feeling well today. How can I be of help to you? Can I give you a half a day off? Can I give you a day off to go and rest? That's empathy. Sympathy is, you're feeling so bad. I don't know what we can do. You know, that kind of thing. It's not helpful. It is sympathy does not help.
It doesn't provide any solution.
No, it doesn't provide solution. It is, you get into it, but you also become part of that problem, but you don't become helpful to the process.
Wow.
Yeah. Of course, if you want a dictionary definition, it will be different.
Different,
but that's,
yeah.
That gives it just a general
it
definition.
It helps us understand.
Yes.
Wow, yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, and so when we're talking about this, you know, there's an African proverb that talks about he who walks alone walks fast.
Yeah.
And he walks with others goes far.
Yes.
Now, that just demonstrates one way that it tells us that when you have relational capital, you are looking at how do I connect with others to go with them, and so that we can carry a longer distance.
Yes.
But I can do it faster alone. So you'll go fast, but what happens with speed and fast, you also lose the steam faster. And you don't have people to carry you on the long term.
Yes.
And so when we're building relational capital, is looking at the long term. How do we as leaders, and how does a leader keep it going for a long time? So that then life in leadership is generally contrasted with a marathon than a sprint.
Oh yeah.
So that if you don't have relational capital, you're sprinting. And you come to a dead end soon. To the end of that race. But if you are person building relational capital, then you're on a marathon. So when you say a marathon is we're together, we're running together, we keep running for a long distance. So it takes that ability of longevity and pushing on for a longer while than just having short-term gains because of the spaces you are in. And so it is important that if you are to build leadership legacy, you also have to build relational capital or relational wealth.
Wow. That's powerful.
Yeah.
Really powerful. I think there's something you mentioned about, I think you mentioned about 2020. I think that's when people realized that relationships are important, in that right now, you don't have to go to work, you're stuck at home.
Yes.
Yeah. So does that also include family?
It includes family because a relational capital also goes back to the personal, the person, the leader developing themselves. Because we know leaders who have this group, large groups in offices.
Yeah.
But have no people to hang around with them in the family. Yeah, if you go to home, everybody says hi to you and disappears into their room, and you remain alone. But when you get to the office, you have everybody running around, those who are giving you a cup of tea, those who are. But so you see, when you've not built relational capital, and especially this comes very clear for leaders when they leave office, when they lose office, or when they get into retirement, where now you don't have crowds around you. And as you said, COVID was one place I saw a lot of that happening. I remember speaking to this bishop who ran a very big, massive church, and they they had prided in the fact that they are a community church. You know,
yes.
You come in, you have a cup of tea, and people greet you. And then come COVID, because he didn't build deeper relationships.
Mm-hmm.
It is the things he did, you know. So people came for the tea because, of course, I'm coming from home. Maybe I've not had breakfast and all those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Then now comes COVID, he finds his phone is silent. Mm-hmm. They go through COVID, very difficult COVID season. They open church, and he ends up his wife, himself, and two elders. And so he wondered, what happened? I thought I'd built a lot of community.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, what he had done is he had created spaces where people came and interacted over the tea, and because of his title, they came to church. And now when they didn't find a reason to
go back,
they were not there. Why? Because they didn't build relational capital.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I called him and asked him, how do I pray for you?
Mm-hmm.
That turned into a conversation for 3 hours.
Wow.
Why? Because now he was downloading. And all he was doing is he was now beginning to see how empty he was,
mm-hmm.
because now he had built people, mm-hmm. quote unquote, around the things he did. And those who came to his office because mm-hmm. of what he would give or pray for them or open doors for them.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't build relationships with them. And those, that becomes a challenge. And so leaders need to always remember that relational capital is important. Jesus did it. And if you look in the book of John, mm-hmm. Jesus transits from the space where they're just his disciples.
Mm.
By the time we come to around John chapter 15, he's talking about friends. You are mm-hmm. my friends.
Wow.
I call you friends.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a relational capital he had built over a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jesus knew how to do it, and he's our predecessor. So that means there's hope.
No, there's always hope.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we are on this program, is to learn from one another, to mm-hmm. unlearn certain things, and to sharpen and also challenge ourselves, because we just have to create. So this program is kind of creates an ecosystem where we come hear one person,
mm-hmm.
but it helps us all contribute to how can I become a better leader? How can I? That's why you're asking people to share some ideas,
mm-hmm.
to ask certain questions,
mm-hmm.
and we all challenge ourselves. And so that part becomes important. And it may not be a measurable thing where you can say, now I have reached this relation, because it's a continuous process. Every phase of your life,
mm-hmm.
you have to continually build this relational capital.
Wow.
Think about Job. And mm-hmm. his three friends, the mm-hmm. three friends who came to sit with him for 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
Relational capital. Because they came and sat and said nothing for 7 days. Just sat there. Why? Because they felt his pain. They just sat there. Think about the four men who took their friend up the roof to Jesus.
Yes.
Relational capital.
Mm-hmm.
Because why would somebody risk doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Carrying somebody off the roof and bringing them down. They could fall, they could hurt themselves, whatever could happen.
Mm-hmm.
But they did that because they have a depth of relationship. So they are willing to do anything for their friend
mm-hmm.
to get to Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. so it's so important that as we think about leadership,
mm-hmm.
we also think about how are you developing you as an individual leader.
Mm-hmm.
Then that translates to how the team also builds as a leader, you know, because if you build good relational capital,
mm-hmm.
your followers learn from it, and they also begin to build the same around themselves.
Before you go to the next segment. Please help us, because I've seen a lot of, especially, I don't know other countries, but Kenya, when maybe in political, someone gets into a political office, instead of building relationships, they are thinking of how to settle themselves, maybe financially, because they feel that once this I get out of this office, I'll still be relevant if I have money.
Yeah.
Can you possibly tell us how those two relate, money and relationships?
And that's the unfortunate thing, because money can never buy relationships.
Mm.
You can have a lot of money but be very lonely.
Yeah.
And a lot of rich people I've seen and I've read about
mm-hmm.
are very, very lonely.
Yes.
Because you can't buy a hug.
No.
Yeah. Mm. You have to build relationships.
Yes.
And so that is important, critical important. While money may be important, be good,
mm-hmm.
but relationships far transcend money. Because
mm-hmm.
when you have relationships, people will open doors for you.
Mm.
People will serve you. People will bless you.
Mm.
So relationship then becomes the most important thing. Think about God himself.
Mm-hmm.
What does the Bible say? For God so loved the world that he gave his begotten son.
Mm-hmm.
It was a love relationship
before
he gave the sacrifice of his son.
Mm-hmm.
And so it begins at the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So God builds a relational capital first
mm-hmm.
before he has given you tangible things. So
yes.
But before he even provides his son as a sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
he has first loved the world. And so that is very important, that we build the relational bonds
mm-hmm.
before we think about the things we give people, children, family, mm-hmm. and other things.
You're also reminding me of Matthew 6 and 33.
Yes.
That we should have a relationship with God too, not just a transactional one. Thank
exactly.
you so much, sir.
Yes, yeah.
Yes.
Good. So let's look at some characteristics of relational wealth.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is built on trust and reciprocity, because
mm-hmm.
trust over time needs you to also reciprocate to the other person.
Yes.
In fact, what I like is Rick Warren says is the best use of life is love. The
mm-hmm.
best use of life is love.
Wow.
The best expression of life of love mm-hmm. is time. So he says the best use of life is love.
Mm-hmm.
The best expression of love is time.
It's time. Yeah.
So how does that look like? It's because I can't love you and I don't give you time.
Mm-hmm.
Because love is connected to the quantity of time.
Mm-hmm.
Because you spend time with the things you love.
Yes.
You spend time with the people you love.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and how do you build trust? Trust is built over relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Hanging around you, listening to you, correcting and sharpening one another.
Mm-hmm.
But the second thing is it's rooted in shared values,
mm-hmm.
loyalty, and mutual respect. So that for a leader is, what are the shared values that we have here?
Mm-hmm.
And then, when somebody is loyal to the institution, to the leader,
mm-hmm.
is also a relational capital. Why am I loyal to a certain leader?
Mm-hmm.
It is because of a relational capital.
Yes.
And that's very important. But also, it also increases a leader's ability to influence, mobilize, and collaborate. Because
mm-hmm.
you see, leadership is not a lonely kind of construct. You have to have other people. You have to collaborate with other leaders.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you collaborate with others? It is the ability where you can pick a phone call and call somebody across, even another media house, and
mm-hmm.
say, I'm Shiko.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for this. And they say, yeah, I'm happy to give it to you. Why? Because there's a relational capital.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important. But it also can be leveraged during crisis, transition, and leadership challenges, what we said earlier on.
Yes.
Because now, when you're in a crisis, like this man who was sick,
mm-hmm.
who turns up for you. When Job was going through what he was going through, who turned up for him?
Mm-hmm.
Those men would not have come if Job didn't have a relational capital.
Very true.
They only came because there's a relational capital with Job.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the same for leaders.
Yes.
Who will turn up for you
mm-hmm.
when you need somebody? It's the people you have built relational capital with.
Wow.
Yeah, and so leaders must always remember that you can be propped up by an office,
mm-hmm.
but the office only has a longevity. After
mm-hmm.
that, what happens if you've not built that relational capital?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's unlike what we see in financial wealth, because financial wealth grows with how much you amass.
Mm-hmm.
But relational capital grows by giving, by
mm-hmm.
service,
mm-hmm.
and by presence.
Wow.
Yeah, being there.
Being there.
Like Job's friends who
mm-hmm.
sat there.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you grow your capital.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving your time, being sitting together, having a cup of tea, whatever it is for conversation,
mm-hmm.
And serving others. That's how you build relational capital.
Wow.
Yeah. Jesus says, I have not come to be served,
mm-hmm.
but to serve. He was a servant of all servants.
Mm-hmm.
What was he building? Relational capital with the people. Because that is a very difficult thing, to wash your people's feet.
Mm.
But he comes and he does that. You can't forget somebody washes your feet.
No. You can't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in fact, I love this, what Mother Teresa once said.
Mm-hmm.
If we have no peace, it is because we have forgotten that we belong to each other.
Wow.
Because when we forget that our relationships are far more important than the things we do together, then we begin to have places of turmoil. But when we know we are for one another, we hold hands, we hold bonds, we build bonds, and you say, you know, we will hold hands so that none of us falls away from it, that we will all continuously work together to build ourselves. And so even the weakest person gains strength for the other person. And so we mutually build something because of that relational bond. But also when you're looking at this, a leader, relational capital is what also opens opportunities and partnerships for you. Because how do you build your social capital? You'll only build it based on the fact that you have built relationships with certain people.
Yes.
Somebody I can call and say, Bishop, could you call for me a certain bishop and connect me? It's based on my relationship with that particular bishop or whatever leader that will now call the other one and open a door. And how does that work? Because I have called you, Shiko, because I have a relationship with you. And now, because the other person, you have social capital with them, when you call them, your word opens the door. Because if it is Shiko who said it, they don't have to check with me. Yeah, because if Shiko said it, I don't need to know this gentle person. I just need to know Shiko said it. Shiko is a good person. Shiko cannot send me the wrong person.
Yes.
And that's it. But it's built on relational capital. But also, relational capital helps us as leaders navigate very complex environments. Think about times of crisis. How do you navigate through that? It is when you have built good relational capital. You can get people to rally behind you, to rally around your vision, to rally around what the direction you are going because of your relational capital. But if you're abrasive, you never relate with anybody. You can have the greatest ideas, but nobody will ever follow through. Yeah, so sometimes it's just realizing that as leaders, that's what happens. But also out of that, then it inspires, and you can now mobilize people beyond the formal authority you have.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think that somebody then can have the brightest ideas, like you say, but because they don't have relationships, they're not able maybe to rise or maybe to accomplish. But there's someone else who may not have, maybe they're not even very gifted, but they have very good relationships. They know how to connect emotionally, like you said, and then they are able to influence people.
Very many times. Look at any, I mean, any government, any the people who are in government who don't have titles, but they move things.
Yes.
Or you've been to an organization, they tell you, call this person. They'll get you the CEO. That person has no title. Sometimes it could be the sweeper.
Yes.
Could be the driver. But they have a relational capital with the boss. So as they're driving the boss, they say, you know, I was talking to Shiko. And Shiko is a fantastic person who really loved to just meet you. She has this great idea to discuss with you. Say, why not tomorrow?
Wow.
But if you call the secretary, they will tell you he's busy. Try next month.
Wow.
So a lot of times, relational capital moves things. It could be a cleaner just sweeping the office of the boss and explaining a few small things. But because there's a connection around that, that is more powerful than any letter or authority you'll write.
Wow.
Because then it can move. I have seen moments, times, you know, I've been to get into people's diaries who when you called, you followed the formal process. 6 months, you cannot get into their diaries. But because you have a relational thing, you send them a text and say, ah, okay, come in the afternoon. Same person who diary was full.
Yes.
Why will they prioritize you?
Relationship.
Yeah. And so it's that thing. It goes far beyond those formal authority. It is that it inspires, it mobilizes people, it navigates those spaces where people can. Mm-hmm. But also it sustains for your credibility and resilience in certain times, because you know, mm-hmm. when a leader is going through difficult times or an organization going through difficult times, the people coalesce around the leader who mm-hmm. believe in what the leader is saying. Mm-hmm. It will be well. It cannot be because of the paycheck you give them.
No.
It will be because of relationships you have built, and that those people believe in you so much mm-hmm. that they are willing to die for you. They are willing to stand with you mm-hmm. and build that that relationship bond. Think of David and Jonathan mm-hmm. in the space where they were. When David is already anointed king, but Saul, Jonathan's father, wants to take him out.
Mm.
What kept them going?
Relationship.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That relationship. Even the Bible says, you know, their bond was so strong,
mm-hmm.
bigger than a brother's bond,
mm.
but it was a relational bond. And that's how David navigates a very difficult space before he finally takes up the seat as king.
Yes.
When Saul is trying to get him out.
Mm.
So that, you can see even in that leadership space, that relationship bond is what helped David. Because mm-hmm. of his relationship with Jonathan, and not because he had a big, vast army.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I think I'm just going to... Let me just sample a few comments.
Yeah.
Someone saying, praying for provision and proper management of a team mm-hmm. and favor in a meeting and time to reconcile an issue and good health and progress in... my estate. I think that one is a prayer request.
Okay.
There's someone who is saying, just a moment. Yeah. There's someone who is saying, I'm Lynette. Every office I go, I work well, but I struggle to form bonds with people. Mm-hmm. I also don't like gossiping or being fake. I mm. find that most people bond over gossip. Yeah. So quite a number of people are connecting with what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm going to be reading a few of them later.
Yes.
But we can see that people are already starting to am I bonding with people in the office?
Yes.
And for Lynette Amesema, I'm not able to connect.
Yeah, and a lot of it is because sometimes we also want to be populists. We want to get into a space and everybody follows you and all those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
But true bonding mm-hmm. starts from small things.
Mm-hmm.
It could be where somebody comes around, like what I usually tell leaders, one of the greatest tools to build bonds is what we call in leadership rounding.
Rounding.
So as a leader, if you come in the office, take a few minutes, go around the desks.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just wave and disappear into your office. Go around the desk and say, hi, Shiko, how are you? How was your weekend? And then go a little further, learn a little about Shiko.
Mm-hmm.
If let's say Shiko has a family,
mm-hmm.
what's the name of the husband?
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of the child?
Wow.
Call them by name.
Mm-hmm.
Because then people begin to see as you're humanizing them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't even have that, just going around and saying hi to people, how are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
It's enough to open up a whole conversation.
Yes.
Because what normal people do when they don't have bonds, if you ask them, how are you doing? Fine.
Fine, yeah.
Superficial.
Mm-hmm.
They've told you nothing. But when somebody begins to tell you, today I don't feel well.
Mm-hmm.
Today I feel off.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're beginning to bond. But you may start in small, measurable ways. Who is that one person you can go to
mm-hmm.
and say, can I sit with you over a cup of tea?
Mm-hmm.
And just say, can I know a little more about you?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you? Not necessarily to know what they have,
mm-hmm.
To gossip, but understanding who they are. And as you slowly build it, you begin to build the bonds because people begin to say, I can trust to tell them a little more about me.
Mm-hmm.
And they can build on. And so you have to also, if you want to have good relational wealth or capital, mm-hmm. you must be the one who first does it, not to wait until the
people
other person
will come to you.
No.
You know, as you're talking, I'm remembering a story. I don't know if you've ever heard of a story of a lady who used to work in a particular organization.
Yeah.
And every day she would get in, she would brilliantly, you know, happily say hi to the guards.
Yes.
So one day when she's coming in and going out, one day when, okay, time to close up, the guard thought, I've not seen so-and-so, I've not seen that smile.
Yes.
And went to the office and looked around. Kumbe, someone had locked her in what looks like a freezer.
Yes.
And he came just in the nick of time.
Yes.
Just because someone used to say hi with a smile.
Yes.
Is that also part of...
It's part of the relational capital, because you're humanized. It's like now when I was driving in, the guards at the gate will tell me, can we check your car?
Yes.
Now, I could either try and use my position and say, you know, I've been a former deacon here.
Mm-hmm.
So intimidate them not to look at my car.
Yes.
And let me in.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can begin to say, how are you today?
Mm-hmm.
And what I have found is, just by the fact I said, how are you, sir?
Mm-hmm.
Their guard is lowered.
Mm.
Because now they realize I can connect with this person.
Yes.
But if I came in and I'm just looking straight, you check my car, there's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I work here and I do this consistently, I say, how were you today? How was your weekend today? But I still allow them to do their work, look at the car, because I'm not trying to stop them from doing their work.
Yes.
Slowly they begin to, there'll be people who'll be looking up today, so and so, have they come to the office? I can't see their car today. Are they really there?
Wow.
Are they well?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because then you begin. And so that's what I'm saying. It is built over time. So relationships are built.
Mm-hmm.
And it's how we build those relationships, by humanizing people, by getting into spaces, saying hi, giving a smile. If you're in a Christian organization like yourself, can you walk up to somebody, can I pray for you? Or how can I pray for you? You don't need money to do that.
No, you don't. Wow.
And when you do it, you sincerely do it.
Mm.
And then slowly, somebody will come when they have a prayer need.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have gone to them before and said, how can I pray for you?
Yes.
Yeah. So they started by superficial. Today my feathers are not working, machines are not working. Then slowly say, you know, my mother is sick. Then tomorrow, and so what are you doing? You're creating that bond. And again, in a relational capital, it means that you are also being vulnerable to them. So that it's not a one-way track. It's a two-way highway where you're saying something, they're saying something, and you're building together. Not just doing one thing, so that then the leader and the follower, or the leader and the people around them, or leader and other peers, you have a real connection. Yeah, because you can go and be in a club, but you care nobody, because we all paid membership club. So we are here and we can give some small talk and talk about politics, talk about everything, weather, but there is not a bond. But it goes deeper when you begin to break down things. And that's why you see Jonathan and David. Jonathan begins to tell David the secrets of his father.
Yes.
Because it's a relational bond. While in normal terms you'd be thinking,
I can't tell this to someone else.
My father is a king. How can I tell you this? But why was that? It's because it's such a bond that is built. Then look at that relational bond, what happens later on.
The young man, his name escapes my mind. The one that David, Mephibosheth.
Yeah, Mephibosheth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now that is a space where David remembers. Why? Because of the relational capital. It goes down, so it builds for you legacy over time. So that now, this man did me good. When I meet their children, his children, I will also do them good because of that relational capital. In fact, there's an interesting African proverb that says, true wealth is not measured by what we have, but by who you have.
By who you have.
Yes.
Wow. Hey, today you have really challenged us. I think for many who are listening and we are looking at our relationships and seeing what better to do. And something that you also mentioned, you said something about being there for people.
Yes.
And I think it's also an African thing. You know, Westernization has somewhat taken away that. You know, like in the African, in the past, people gathered during weddings.
Yes.
You're happy to see so and so.
Yeah.
You're happy to see someone there for you because maybe you've lost.
Yeah.
We love that community thing.
And it's very important because the more we go towards individualism, we become less and less healthy in our relationships. Think about a person who joins groups. Maybe if you have a WhatsApp group in the in Hope here. If somebody loses a loved one, they'll faithfully send their money.
Yes.
But they never turn up for any of the meetings.
Ooh.
They never go for the funeral meetings. They never go to the burial. But they send money. What do you think when they lose somebody, what people will do?
The people will send money.
They'll send money. Because relational wealth is being there when the person, because at that particular time of loss, what that person needs more is not money.
It's people around.
Even though money is important.
Yes, yes.
It's the people around, the comfort, being there. And that's why Job's friends, in the first few days, they just sat there and said nothing. Presence.
Yes.
Just somebody who is there in my space. When I'm crying, I just have a shoulder I can cry on. I don't have to explain and say things. They're just there to fill the space, being there. And so relational capital requires being there. And it may not be like what somebody has lost somebody. But are you there? Like what I'm saying. If you only send money, people will send you money. But the day you lose somebody, you will not see them. And I have seen leaders, and I can tell you, even in my own experience, I've seen leaders who had such crowds around them. They lost a loved one. And you see them funeral meeting and you wonder, what happened?
A few people.
Yeah, because they didn't build relational capital.
There's a quote you gave there saying the best way to love is giving people time.
Yes.
Wow. So even visiting someone in hospital.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says the best ministry is what? Visiting the sick.
Wow.
Because they're at their lowest. And it says what? It uses another scripture. It says, it's better to be in the house of mourning.
Mourning. Than of
being in a celebration, in a place of feasting. Why would that be better in a place of mourning where people are crying, where people are sad? Because that's where relationships are felt. That's where relationships become tangible, where people need far beyond things. They just need somebody. They need to feel somebody. They need to feel a presence. And so that is a space where when somebody is unwell, that is where to turn up, because it's when they're most vulnerable.
Wow.
When they need a shoulder to cry on, somebody to encourage them, it is well, you will get better. Yeah, you're pulling through this. I can see you getting over this. You know, that encouragement, that's what helps. But it comes out of relational capital.
Wow.
Yeah.
God is calling us to a place where we show love not by mere words. Yeah, but by action. I think that's also a scripture somewhere. It says, dear brethren, do not love by mere words, but by action.
Sure.
Yeah. Can I ask another slight question before we go for a very short break?
Yes.
For the news break. What if someone, you know, like for example, what if during that time of burial, maybe someone is out of the country?
Yes.
Would a call suffice, and possibly now when you come back, you're able to see them?
It's important, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a call, write them a WhatsApp. They may not even pick the call. You know, because they may be so busy, caught up in the morning.
Yes.
But they will see.
Mm-hmm.
They will see Shiko called.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow, thank you so much, Mr. Kingston Ogango right there. Quite a number of messages coming. People saying, I'm learning a lot from this conversation. And I think it's important that you have said that we need to build relationships and not go the way the world is telling us to, individualism, where you're living in an apartment and you don't even know your next door neighbor.
Yes.
Today is yet another beautiful day. We are learning a very important aspect that is being lost these days because of the way the world is moving fast. But with me in studio is Mr. Kingston Ogango. He's helping us understand more about relational wealth. And of course, before I let him continue, let me just read this comment that has made me laugh off air. There's someone who is saying, what if I don't like smiling? Some people could think it's flirting. Again, how does one overcome inferiority complex after many rejections in the past?
Yeah, but you know, flirting, actually flirting has a sexual connotation.
Yes.
And it's a playful way you're doing it, and superficial, that you're attracted to somebody.
Yes.
But just a genuine smile, it will not be flirting.
Yes.
And, you know, a smile does a lot. And, of course, you don't want to be playful, even when you're smiling with somebody.
Yes.
I've never seen where a smile kills somebody.
No.
It builds, you know.
Yes, yes.
And, yeah, as long as you're not doing it with another motive, it helps. And she says, or he says, that they don't like smiling. All of us were not loving to smile. These are skills you can build. And the more you smile, in fact, they say that you use less muscles to smile than to frown.
I thought it's even to cry.
Yes, you were frowning. Yeah, so the more you try it, you know, just smile. And slowly it becomes like second nature. You begin to realize that you can actually smile. And I mean, you know, people are trained.
Yes.
Air hostesses are trained to smile.
Ah.
Yes. It's a whole space where you train.
So they smile and they tell you, no, don't smile like that. They teach you how.
Yes, how to make it natural, to make it, yeah. Or people who find it difficult to just smile. And you know, life is not that serious.
Very true.
And a smile goes a long way, and a smile lightens your heart.
Yes.
Yes.
And like we shared in the past hour, it could save your life.
A lot.
Asante Sana.
Yeah.
So you had told us about building trust.
Yes.
Yes.
So we started by looking at trust and legacy, and we said it's a more profound commitment to the faithfulness of the team.
Yes.
Then we looked at emotional safety, creating those spaces where you're vulnerable and you allow, you know, that we're talking about going to a space where you're going to visit with somebody. Yeah, that's a benefit. And then influence without authority, I think we talked about, where you can just, you mobilize people without an office. It's just people, you stand up, people follow you without an office. Resilience to crisis, we said, because when you have built relationship, it helps you. People come around you in times of crisis and help you navigate through that. But also, it's a way to multiply your influence when you have relational capital. Let's look at the story of Paul and Timothy.
Okay.
Paul comes to Timothy and tells him, 2 Timothy 2:2, whatever you have seen and learned from me, teach other faithful men.
Yes.
So Paul has built a relationship. Further on, some verses, he calls Timothy my son Timothy.
Wow.
He was not his
biological
father.
Mm-hmm.
But he had built a relationship that he can call him son.
Wow.
He can call him son because of that relational capital. And then it also gives him the right then to speak into his life and tells him, now fund the gift that is in you by the laying on of the hands, you know. And then he tells him, do not be timid, you know. So he can actually speak into his life because of that relational capital he has built with Timothy. And then he can also now begin to help Timothy to see, how do I carry forth what I have learned to other people? And that's why he tells him, what you have learned, also teach other faithful people. So it's an example I have shown you, of faithful people now take it to another level, and now it multiplies that influence mm-hmm. because now it moves away from one individual, Paul, and now Timothy carries the same, because Timothy will carry it the way he has seen, the way they have related, and relate with others. Mm-hmm. And you see, we normally say, if you're doing parenting, for example,
yes.
children do not follow you because of what you say,
mm-mm.
but what you do.
What you do, yeah.
Because if I say I love their mother, but show no love, they don't know what that love means.
Yes.
But when I demonstrate it, then they are able to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
So it multiplies that, because then it moves from a place. I used to see my father do it like this.
Mm-hmm.
And they also do the same with somebody else. And the same with the leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, we said leadership is influence. So how do you influence people? By the things you say and the things you do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more powerful, the things you do, because it's living what you say.
Mm-hmm.
Taking your words and bringing them into action. People see. If you say you're a person who keeps time.
Yes.
Do they see you keeping time? Or do they hear you talking about keeping time?
Mm-hmm.
So it is in that space where you've built relational capital. But there's also something I think we said, or we were discussing with you a little off air.
Yes.
Remember the story of David?
Yes, yes.
When David is on the run,
mm-hmm.
because there's a story where he's with Jonathan.
Yes.
But he's with this story where men follow him. The
mm-hmm.
men we end up calling David's mighty men.
Yes.
The Bible says they were discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
They were in debt.
Mm-hmm.
They were despondent. But they are following a man who is running away to the desert, running for safety.
Mm-hmm.
He has no weapon. He has nothing. Because
mm-hmm.
later on, he had to borrow a spear.
Oh, from the temple?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Goliath's spear. Because
yes.
he had nothing.
Mm.
But why do they follow him? Relational capital. We end up seeing this man later on in the story
mm-hmm.
where we are now calling David mighty man.
Mm-hmm.
We see some of them like Benaiah
mm-hmm.
who kills a lion with his bare hands on a snowy day.
Mm-hmm.
A man who could do that, killing a lion. They become mighty. They do great things.
Mm-hmm.
They move. The two men who crossed the enemy's fence to go and bring him water.
And
he couldn't even drink the water because
mm-hmm.
he knew
mm-hmm.
what sacrifice they had given.
Wow.
It can only have been relation. Why do they follow a man like that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we say. You see, relational capital is not what you have.
Mm-hmm.
David didn't have anything.
No.
But they followed him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they followed him. They were willing to go with him a mile and do great, incredible things
mm-hmm.
for a man who had zero. And so it's not the things, it is
mm-hmm.
the who you are and what it meant to them for David. So they wanted to rally around David. And of course, we don't know what happened in the desert, but of course, there must have been something positive
mm-hmm.
that David inspired in them,
mm-hmm.
that these guys become now great giants. They now move away from their timidity, their indebtedness, their discouragement.
Mm-hmm.
Now they become great soldiers. Eleazar, who became his army commander, who ended up also becoming the commander of King Solomon,
mm-hmm.
moved to, yeah, they were part of David's mighty men. You know.
Could it also be that he grew them?
Yes.
Because I'm just thinking, maybe I'm thinking too much, but just let me allow, just tell you, then
yes.
you'll tell me if I'm thinking too much.
Mm.
David
mm-hmm.
Had a winner mentality. You
yes.
remember when he came and everyone in the army camp was running away?
Yeah.
And him, because he had not been exposed to Goliath, Akim Tukana,
mm.
he was able to know, no, this is not supposed to happen in Israel.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when people come to him and there are all those things that you have said, they are broken, they are in debt,
mm.
they are discouraged, I think maybe he built them. Could it also be that if you're a leader and you build people,
yes,
there's something that happens so that someone says, hey, Mr. Kingston, what he did for my life, I
yes.
wouldn't be where I am. You have heard people say story,
yeah.
things like that. I wouldn't be where I am today if it was not for Mr. Kingston. Do you think it's something?
Yes, it's, but it all begins where? The relationship.
Oh, yeah.
How do you build people?
Mm-hmm.
They come to you and
mm-hmm.
you walk with them.
Mm-hmm.
T Timothy with Paul, Titus with Paul. It's a relationship. Elijah with Elisha, relationship. Joshua and Moses, relational. So you're building people who are around your sphere. You're inputting in them because you're building a relationship. But if it was just do for me a task, you don't build them.
No.
Yeah, this is your job to do. You do it and it's finished. But people go beyond that because of the relationship. You see how Paul goes even to the details. He talks about the grandmother. He talks about the mother. It can only be relational.
Very true.
Yes.
Oh, it's hard to build someone you hardly know.
You can't. So that's why we're saying you build the relationship. Coming in contact with the people, being there for the people, listening, sitting and talking with one another. You build that relationship because relationships are not built by writing documents or writing text messages. It is doing. People, can people feel you? Can people be there? You know, when people say we don't feel you, it's basically they're saying we don't seem to have a relationship with you.
There's no connection.
No, there's no connection. Yes.
So what happens if a leader doesn't have a connection with his people?
And that's why we are saying, you know, all these things can be taught. That's why we, in this program, we catalyze that process of how can I grow a muscle? Every leader, including myself, cannot have it all.
Very true.
The things you'll do well, the things you'll struggle. The things you can learn and grow, you know, you can get a mentor who can mentor you through a process. You can get a coach who can coach you through a process. You can sit and learn and unlearn certain things because you may also have things that you think so deeply about which are wrong. So you need to unlearn them and grow. So all of us can learn. We are just students of life. And life allows us opportunities to grow in spaces and in areas where we do not have it. As long as we are having a teachable spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much,
yes,
sir.
Yes, thank you.
We can continue.
Good. So we've looked at the benefits. Let's look at also the challenges because some people may be sitting and say, this thing is hard. So number one, relational wealth can also be time intensive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it requires consistency and intentional investment. So it means you have to cross your desk, go say hi to somebody. You have to travel to go to somebody who is mourning. You have, so it's an investment. And then it is not one-off. It's consistent. So that can be a challenge. And so as you get into it, you have to know that it will require of your time. But if you value it, then you'll invest the time. Then the second one, it can also be emotional drain.
Because of being everywhere.
Because deep relationships can lead to burnout if not balanced. Yes, because people can begin to, and you, some people can burden you too much with their own things they need to deal with.
Oh, when you don't have boundaries.
Yes, you know, because you see, when you get into relationship also, it must be where the people you're dealing with, there's also balance, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that every little thing, the battles you need to battle alone, that you must win alone, not your friends must win for you. There are things that friends should be there for you, but the things that you must be there for yourself and sort out that. So it can also have an emotional drain if you don't balance it. Can you draw boundaries where you can say, this one I'm not coming, but I can call you. This one I'm not coming, but I can pray for you. This one I'm not coming, but I can send you some money. So finding that balance of not getting caught up in that, because then emotionally it will pull you down.
Yes.
Yeah, because you have to also be in the space where if you're doing this with 100 other people, it's going to be difficult. But also it has a vulnerability risk, because trusting opens the door to potential hurt or betrayal.
You remember our friend who said, I've been rejected.
Because as you open, as you become vulnerable, there's a risk of, I tell you something, Shiko, and you go tell somebody else. And you betray the trust we had. And you hurt me or I hurt you. So that is a potential risk in it. And so why do we talk about this? It's not because so that you don't do it, but you are aware Mm-hmm. That as you get into it, that this is a potential place of risk. Mm-hmm. So how do you mitigate the risk? How do you make sure that you're also keeping a space where you can also create a place where we can talk about when I shared something like this, I didn't like the way you did this way, you went and said. So finding spaces where you can ventilate about those things, mm-hmm. and create so that then there's that vulnerability is not misused.
Yes.
Because you can't build deep friendships without vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
But vulnerability can be abused.
Very true.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that actually just lends into my next point. Boundaries needed.
Mm-hmm.
Because especially in leadership,
mm-hmm.
over familiarity yeah. will blur the leadership lines.
So there's that even a saying
yes.
About brings contempt. I've
yes, familiarity breeds contempt.
Yeah.
So that then how do I relate with this leader
mm-hmm.
where we are building friendship,
mm-hmm.
but I don't take things for granted.
Yes.
Because why they're leaders is they have also power
mm-hmm.
to hire, to fire.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
So how do we keep that there?
Mm-hmm.
It is then when those boundaries are needed, so that then where is it, how far can I go?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that if in this relationship with a leader, what can I say?
Yes.
How can I say it? So that then it doesn't become, you're too familiar.
Yeah.
You just say anything, anywhere, anyhow.
It even becomes like maybe rude to other people. They
exactly.
wonder why you, yeah.
Yeah, so that can also be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Then the last thing is misplaced dependence, you know,
mm-hmm.
can lead to favoritism or unhealthy reliance.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, if I have built some building some friendships in the team with staff members,
mm-hmm.
then you begin to favor one mm-hmm. over others.
Oh, yeah.
Or opposite is that they begin to name drop your name
mm-hmm.
in spaces when they want to do their own things.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that misplaced dependence can mm-hmm. be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So that when you're building these relationships, then you must also, and that's why it goes back to boundaries,
mm-hmm.
being able to ensure that you're remaining objective and not subjective,
mm-hmm.
where you're not just looking at favoring people
mm-hmm.
because you like them so mm-hmm. much, so that even their blind sides you want to overlook.
Yes.
But being able to say, okay, this one, I don't think you've done well.
Mm-hmm.
And this other thing, don't name drop names so that you get favor from people or you coerce them into something
mm-hmm.
because you know so-and-so or because you're friends with so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
So those can be a few challenges, and I'm sure people can build onto those challenges also. Yeah.
Wow. Asante sana. Mm-hmm. I think possibly I'm going to ask you.
Yes.
You remember that lady who had said, how do you deal with rejection?
Yes.
There are people who are saying, Mr. Kingsong, whatever you're saying is very good.
But
I have a problem because I've been hurt before.
Yes.
Yes.
One is to always, when you're getting into relationships,
mm-hmm.
I always say keep your bar of expectations low.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't go with very high
expectations.
Mm-hmm. So don't go there hoping that when I go that everybody will just embrace me.
Mm-hmm.
No. Go with the anticipation you are looking to build something.
Yes.
Some will like you, some will not like you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just human. Sometimes people don't like you for reasons you cannot
beyond
explain.
Beyond yourself. Yes.
Not because they know you.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't like you.
Yes.
So don't be overly sad but because mm-hmm. they didn't like you.
Mm-hmm.
Because that will happen. So that as you go there, go with that expectation. Don't have too high expectations that everything must go right.
Mm-hmm.
Then some, in their trying to be good,
mm-hmm.
might misstep because they may not know how to express it well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they may say something that is unkind.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, perhaps they thought they're giving you a compliment.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
So it's that thing that you have to always remember that none of these relationships are perfect.
No.
You're building around the relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And so start with that expectation that it could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But don't be pessimistic.
Mm-hmm.
Work with that ability where you're giving some room for mm-hmm. growth, giving some room for the benefit or the doubt. They
yes.
meant well, but maybe they didn't express it well.
Mm-hmm.
And then trying again. And then when you realize somebody has a wall around it,
mm-hmm.
walk away without feeling like you're the one who is the problem.
Yes.
Yeah, because then you don't have that imposter syndrome. Yeah, realizing that people mm-hmm. can just be that.
People are just people.
Yes.
There's a question I asked you off air, and I think it would help a lot of people.
Yes.
Because when it comes to relationships, different personalities, you know, we say that there are some who are extroverted
yes.
and some that are introverted.
Yes.
So possibly help someone who is saying, I am in that category of being introverted.
Yes.
And also, I think you mentioned something about... what I can call it is sensitive. There are some personalities that are very sensitive.
Yes.
Yeah, please tell us some of the things that someone can do so that you're not constantly telling everyone, this you did wrong.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, of course, some of it, I usually say some of it is born out of pride.
Mm-hmm.
Where you think
mm-hmm.
you're the only super person.
Yeah.
The others don't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The others have no clue of what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you get into those kind of spaces,
yes.
always remember, somebody knows something you don't know.
Very true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And never assume,
mm-hmm.
because there may be people who look of low level,
mm.
or people who may not look the part,
yes.
that they don't know. They may know something you don't know.
Very true.
So have that open-mindedness
mm-hmm.
getting into that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we look at people, I've known people who are sanguines.
Yes.
Happy-go-fellows. But they yes. have very superficial relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Because they touch and go.
Yes.
So it doesn't mean because they're all up and down,
mm-hmm.
they have deep relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Because every relationship requires intentionality.
Yes.
It requires consistency.
Mm-hmm.
It requires the time investment.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter whether you are an introvert
mm-hmm.
or an extrovert.
Yes.
Some of the greatest leaders have led the world have been introverts.
Very true.
Yeah.
Mm.
So it is also how do you, because why do we learn about these temperaments?
Mm-hmm.
It's not so that we start celebrating. You know me, I'm an introvert. So I stay where I'm an introvert.
Yes.
No. It's a place of understanding yourself
mm-hmm.
so that you begin to sharpen.
Yes.
Yeah. So that don't say now because I'm an introvert,
mm-hmm.
me, I'll just sit here alone.
Mm-hmm.
No. How can you begin to get a bit stronger in that space?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it is show up for a social event.
Yes.
And the first half, 1 hour that you are there, be there, be present.
Mm-hmm.
And then now go and cool down in your introverted space.
Mm-hmm.
But try and so show up. Sign up for things that will make you a bit uncomfortable.
Yes.
Because that's how you grow.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't grow by saying, you know me, I'm this kind of person.
No.
If you're a very aggressive person,
mm-hmm.
it is being in spaces where people challenge you.
Yes.
And you have to keep quiet,
mm-hmm.
even though you're boiling on the inside.
Yes.
To help you begin to learn
mm-hmm.
how to become better in that.
Yes.
And so why we learn all these things is learning and unlearning so that we become better.
So that we become better people.
Yes, yeah.
There's someone who is saying, hi, that greetings actually open up room even for counseling opportunity.
Yes.
They feel free and trust a person and open up more on the struggles they go through.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else here is saying, oh, I think I had handled that lady about... Someone is saying, I'm really loving the conversation. Say hi to our guest, Mr. Kingston.
Indeed, I
enjoy being surrounded by such authentic and empathetic leaders, fostering trust and positive relationship with our team, allowing me as a follower to be open to say something, a small talk with my boss in the morning, not a bureaucratic leader who just waves from a distance. Maybe they are hurt.
Yes.
Maybe they have gone through fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's someone else here who is saying, that was Michael. Someone else is saying, the show is encouraging, and for my take home, is a ministry of presence, especially on bereavement, which you have talked about. Yes. And there's someone else who's saying, it's Isaiah Akiri listening from Makongeni Jogo Road and learning great insight from Mr. Kingston. I do remember him when Bro Jilo used to host him by then. It was Route 104.
Yeah.
He's such a blessing to me anytime I listen to him. Such a relationship also can help in sharing the love of Christ easily and win a soul at the same time. Saying thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah, quite a number of people agreeing with everything that you're teaching. There's someone else who is saying here, good afternoon, I'm Evelyn from Nakuru. Thanks for the session. I'm really benefiting. Now, on relationships, there's a man whom I used to be his boss. Then I left the organization, after which he invited me to his house to pray for him and his family to give their lives to Christ, which I gladly did. But unfortunately, he did not get a good follower because maybe the person I connected him to was too busy or something. He went back to be a Catholic. Can he find someone to walk with him? First for discipleship, then mentorship. He's in Nairobi.
Okay. Yeah, there'll be plenty of people. I don't know which church, but there must be a church close by where, or the church she goes to, where she can find men who can disciple and walk with them, and the mentoring. So there'll be opportunities, just depending on where they are and finding the mentors, because also finding a mentor can be a job if you don't know where to find the right mentors. But I'm assuming the church they go to, they have a kind of a discipleship.
Said Catholic.
It doesn't matter, you see, because a lot of times sometimes people just need to be exposed to the gospel. And that conversational, and that's what we do in Alpha, creating a space where somebody comes and we have conversations about faith.
Also, possibly they can connect them. Are there groups?
Yes, so we can connect them to a church near them already running. And so they can just send you their details, and then we will pick it up from there.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Someone else is saying, Pastor and Shiko, Pastor Kingston and Shiko, you're saying, I was backstabbed by a close friend of many years. I forgave her, but cut connections completely. Is this okay, Carol?
Yeah, and what is challenging about relationships is that be careful not to get bitter. Yeah, so that even when people have wronged you, they betrayed you, don't get bitter. But learn the lesson.
Yes.
So that then you create a boundary that does not expose you to the same thing again. Because if you remain bitter, chances are that you will be there. Learn, what did you do wrong in that kind of relationship?
Yes.
What did you open up to? Maybe there's a lot of interdependence, or something happened, familiarity or something. So what can you guard against in the next time? It doesn't mean now you go and embrace them everywhere, but remove bitterness from them.
Yes.
Release them, because it poisons you. It doesn't poison the other person.
Yes.
When you don't forgive and allow bitterness to be in your heart. So release yourself, keep a light heart, but know next time, because it teaches you a lesson. Next time you're in a relationship, how do you work through that?
Can I ask?
Yes.
Still on the same. She has said it's a friendship of many years.
Yes.
And you have talked about investment.
Yes.
And I like the fact that you have told them this doesn't mean go and embrace them. But what if someone is listening and they're about to break a relationship of many years because of maybe something simple?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So again, depends on what many years mean, because sometimes we build many years, but we have many years of superficial relationships.
Oh, okay.
Do we have a space where we can call out one another and say, Shiko, on this particular day, you hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible, if you're a Christian, says what? Mm-hmm. Doing it in love.
Yes.
So you correct others in love.
Mm-hmm.
How can you do it? Can you call them and say, can we have a cup of tea?
Mm-hmm.
When you did this and this, this is how I felt.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you have that kind? Because if you don't have that space, then that is a one-sided relationship.
Wow.
And it's headed for problems, even though you are for many years.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's one trigger and the whole thing crumbles.
Yes.
But if you want to build a healthy relationship, is where you can be able to express. So I always say, do what we call respectful dissent, where you can say, no, I don't agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because friendship doesn't mean I agree with everything you're doing.
Yes.
And we go one direction, that is hard mentality.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
It is a space where we can come and sit.
Mm-hmm.
Finding the right time, finding the right space, but making sure in that friendship or relationship, there's always space where you can begin to talk about the things that are not working.
Amen and amen. Asante sana. I think you're going to go for a very brief break. When you come back, kindly remember, I'm going to be looking for messages, especially on our social media platforms. Then our guest, Pastor Kingston Ogango, he's going to be telling us more about this. This is very, it's deep.
Okay.
It's deep because I'm seeing a lot of people dealing with hurt because of relationships.
Yeah.
Asante sana for keeping it right here where you listen. And leave with me in studio is a man who wears many hats. Ata sasa nashindo nitamuita aje. Mr. Kingston Ogango or Pastor Kingston Ogango.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that God has given you a platform to minister to his people. So today, you're talking about relational wealth.
Yes.
And I can see, let me just ask you one question.
Sure.
There's someone who is saying, someone is asking for Mr. Kingston Ogango's contacts.
Okay.
Yes.
We'll share that later.
Yes, and also the person, the lady who, I think of her, I was telling you, it's very interesting for someone to call their boss to pray for them, to lead them to salvation.
Yes.
And you said it's what you're talking about, boundaries, you know, balancing.
Yes.
So they have sent contacts, but kindly, even as we bring this to a close, tell us what you have in store, and then maybe at the tail end you're going to pray.
Okay. I think as we have said that is relational wealth is real currency.
Yes.
And for every leader, if you want to have lasting leadership, you must build relational currency, not built on titles, but on trust. And it's not measured by the networks, but the lives you invest in. Yeah, because you see, you've never been to a funeral of a rich person and they say how much money they have.
No.
It's always about the lives they touched.
Yes.
And so ultimately, it is not how far we rise, but how deeply we connect that defines our legacy. That
it is not how far
we rise,
but how deeply we connect. Powerful.
Yes, because you can go as high as you want. But if you don't have deep connections, and it's painful. And I remember the words of Thabo Mbeki when he was, the time he was stepped down as president.
Yes.
And I read those words and they were very deep words. And he said, from here, I go back to my family. Because now everybody else didn't like him.
Yes.
They have decided he's not their president. Now, only the deep relationships were going to hold him in that time of crisis.
Yes.
And then we also have to remember we need to steward our relationships well. That we build bridges.
Yes.
Because God moves through all these things by bringing purpose, influence, and grace. But also, creating healthy boundaries while making sure we are creating and building relational capital with people around us.
Yes.
Because when everything else is done, it's relationships that hold us. And then for Christian leaders, it's not about building big networks to gain followers.
Having a million followers. Yes. You started by saying that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Instead, it's to nurture relationships, to raise disciples.
Wow.
Because that's what God calls us to do. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. That we may build disciples.
Yes.
That we may build people and raise an army for the kingdom of God. And then finally is that influence is not hoarded.
Wow.
Influence is not hoarded, it is stewarded.
Wow.
So we must steward every relationship and the influence we have over people. It's not to hoard it, it's not to do things for your own benefit. How do we steward what God has given? Then how do we build the networks, the bridges, loving people and building? And that's why Jesus can comfortably say, after he has walked with his disciples, he calls them friends.
Wow.
He has moved from the place where he has just called them as fishermen and others to come and follow him and do the work. He now begins to build the kingdom of God with friends.
Wow.
Not the followers he had in the beginning. And so friendship is what lasts when everything else has fallen apart.
Wow.
Yes.
Powerful.
Thank you.
Mr. Kingston, is it the same, is it the reason why we still remember people like Mother Teresa?
Yes.
They build deep relationships.
Very deep relationships.
Yeah.
And people with deep relationships, you'll always feel them, even when they enter a room. They don't have to, because you will see it. It's demonstrated. You see how they light up a space. People will want to come around them, greet them. Just
people can feel this person genuinely cares.
Yes. And yet they may not have much, because you don't need money to build relationships.
Yes.
Yeah. It just, you need to be there. You need to be intentional. You need to do it right, and then just doing it. And so for leaders, it's also critically important that we must begin to change that narrative. That leadership, you will be left alone. Leadership is lonely. It is true, it can be lonely at the top if you don't build relational capital.
Yes.
But if you begin to build relational capital, there'll be another leader who can call you. You can call another leader. You say, I'm going through this crisis, and they'll be there for you. People rally around you, as we've seen from David's situation.
Yes.
Yeah. Even though he had nothing and he was on the run, people followed it. And so it is that building relational capital that is important, because that becomes your greatest defense as a leader and raises you to a higher level. And all of us are learning. So it's not about temperament. It's not about how you look or what. It is the intentionality that we will put in every single day to build relationships. Be there for people. Love people and connect with people every single day. And if you ask any leader who has been there and has left a leadership position, he will tell you, I wish I built some relationships with some people.
Wow.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Kingston. That is a powerful thing. I think personally I've been challenged. I need to work and be more intentional in my relationships.
Yes.
And isn't it amazing that you have also told us that God is relational? You know, he's not the kind, there are places where you go, you give things and things are done for you, but God is relational.
Yes.
And so him being a relational God, he's also calling us to a place where we can relate like him.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Powerful. Powerful. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now, I know we do not have a lot of time. I'm just going to ask if there is a way people can connect with you. Are you on social media platforms?
I'm on social media. Find me on Instagram. You get on Facebook. Find me on LinkedIn. You find me in X. So I'm on all the platforms.
As Kingston Ogango.
Kingston, Ogango, or even if it's reversed, one of other places, maybe Ogango, Kingston, but it's the same name.
Yes.
Yeah, but so if you just look for Kingston, Ogango, you'll find me on social spaces.
Mm-hmm.
But for those who want to connect a bit intentionally on something, they can give you your contacts and then you can see how to connect with them.
Wow.
Yes.
Thank you so much,
Thank
sir.
You. Okay.
I'm going to ask you to pray. We have seen a lot of people are not relating because they've been hurt and they've said, never again.
Yes.
I'm never getting into those spaces again.
Yes.
But you have said that we miss out a lot if we don't relate.
Yes.
Yes. So please pray. And
shall we pray?
Yes.
Lord, we're so grateful for the time we've had together with the listeners and, Lord, even the interaction, also the viewers, Lord. We thank you for those who are in leadership. We pray for each one of them, that, Lord, as you raise them up to be leaders, that, Lord, you'll also help them to build relationships around them, Lord. And, Father, we pray for those relationships that are hurting, that are painful, that feel betrayed, those who feel stabbed in the back, that, God, you will just help them to forgive, to rise up and to move again, Lord. You're a God of a second chance. And so, Lord, we pray for each person that is trying to find their, navigate and find their space, that, Lord, you be with them. For those who are fearful, those who think, I can't do it because of my past experience, Lord, we pray for courage. We pray that, Lord, they will trust, they put their hands in your hands, and that, Lord, they will walk with you, that you may help them, Lord. So, Father, we pray for all of us as individuals and all of us as leaders, Lord, where we have not done it well, we can look to you because you're a God of wisdom. Your word tells us in Proverbs 2:6 that, Lord, you give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So we pray for wisdom, that, God, you give us wisdom of how to interact. You give us knowledge of how, where, and what to do, and understanding of the situations we are in, Lord. We thank you for this program. We thank you for hope. We thank you for the leadership of hope. We pray that, God, as they continuously bring this on air, that, Lord, you will use it as tools and platforms to enrich many, and many will find you. And perhaps there be a person who is wondering and is trying to find Christ. I pray that, God, you reach them out wherever they are today. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. Asante sana for staying tuned. This is Praise Junction. We have just finished another beautiful episode of Leadership Forum. If you are just joining us, kindly don't worry. You can actually find us. We've recorded. We've been running it live on our social media platform, so you can actually go back and listen. And also Saturday morning, you can find that is going to be playing on Saturday morning and also on our podcast. I want to say asante sana for now from studio. I want to say kwa heri until tomorrow, same time, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. My name is Shiko. Kindly watch out for Alice. She's about to give us the stories, some of the stories making headlines in Swahili. And of course, after that, Man Karis will be coming up with Afternoon Switch. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning into the Leadership Forum. Join us again on alternate Mondays for deeper insights on leadership. The Leadership Forum, discussing leaders and followers.
Inaendeshwa na AfriPods.